Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Here we are at the transmission party, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. A barn burner at Molyneux, and Arsenal host Liverpool this Sunday. It's Friday, 2nd of Feb, by Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Shiver me timbers, it is Friday. Oh, is. What a result that is, lads.
Mr. Worldwide.
No, you're jumping the gun.
Always.
Yes, that's true.
Not only is it Friday.
Yes.
It's David Jason's 84th birthday, Pete. Do you want to take the opportunity to wish him a happy birthday?
Come on, Dave.
I'm going to fall through the bar.
There you go.
Oh, I fell through the bar.
What's the telly?
Unbelievable. Yeah, David Jason, star of Only Fools and Horses, of course. A British classic.
A British classic. Like you, Marcus.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, a British classic.
We were having an argument about British plugs last night on WhatsApp, weren't we?
We weren't having an argument at all. You gave me a compliment there. Can we just move on quickly before you ruin it?
Sorry.
Okay. Beautiful British classic, Marcus. Like Bangers and Mash, isn't
he? Like a Bentley.
He's like Bangers and Mash.
In a Bentley.
A fight in a bus shelter.
His sills are rusted.
Oh, dear. Oh, before we talk about that barn burner at Wolverhampton Wanderers last night, a reminder to catch up on the latest Ramble Reacts, where that guy Peter and that guy Luke talked about goalposts made of what's-its. Mm-hmm. Darwin Nunes on stage at Ronnie Scott's. I did appreciate that, by the way. And whether they would replace their dads with chips. He also covered Liverpool beating Chelsea as well, in a way. So do listen to that. Hit subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode.
I thought it was a vintage episode.
It was vintage episode.
The great thing about doing ones with Pete is I haven't really got to prepare. Because I can't prepare. Yeah. Because he's going to catch me out in some way I've not thought of. Mm-hmm. So there's no
goalposts made of what's-its.
Yeah, perhaps more of a vintage episode in that...
I want to sell him.
Yeah, exactly. It was cut price stuff.
Yeah. You know? clean me up and sell me on.
A lot of fighters room on the app.
I turned up to the show today with some football boots that I turned up to 11 aside at the weekend. Yeah. I'd bought the two sizes too small version of the shoes. So little tip.
You say the version, you mean you just bought them two sizes?
Just bought them two sizes too small.
Just a smaller version.
Is this a coupe shoe?
The size I need.
he walks back into the shop, but I appear to have purchased a smaller version.
Can I have a four-door?
The Sim City version.
Yeah.
Yes. Why did you? What's your plan? How are you going to sort this out?
I'm just saying that usual professional footballers don't turn up to matches with shoes two sizes too small.
You'd hope not. What they do. You also drove the boots here.
Because there's tape here.
In the hope there will be tape in the studio.
It's just been on my mind all week, and I'm like, if I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to send him back to Adidas.
No. Yeah,
take these predators back. From one predator to another, take these back.
They are.
Oh, yeah. Good. Very good.
Deary me. Wolverhampton Wanderers 3, Manchester United 4.
Speaking of predators, oh, front of goal.
What a match. Absolute battle, wasn't it?
It was just, I mean, it was Susan Purb for the narrative that Marcus Rashford scored after 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because everyone was talking about him, you know, basically, essentially, every single pre-match interview now of Erik ten Hag involves him dismissing or brushing under the carpet some kind of quote-unquote internal matter.
Yeah.
And then Rashford goes and does that. Mm. About 5 minutes after, Rio Ferdinand criticised him for not looking like he enjoys playing for Man United anymore by showing old footage of him scoring his first goal for United and being quite pleased about it.
Well, it was a very bizarre... 18?
Yeah, it was a very, very strange...
Was that against Midtjylland? Was it that game?
It was early on, but yeah.
Like
he goes into the crowd and gets celebrated in the crowd, yeah.
And, but he scored a lovely one there. The perfect way to silence some of those critics and even his manager. You're going to drop me now, yeah?
Yeah.
but an amazing start. Manchester United looked very, very good in that first half.
They did.
You have to say, like, Wolves weren't in it at all. Manchester United dominated the game. And obviously they did win the game, but...
Well, they dominated at the start, didn't they?
Yeah, that's what I mean. So in that first half, they were very, very
good.
They
also looked like they were enjoying it for the first time in a while. Mm. One of the highlights of the whole thing for me was Rasmus Højlund celebrating his goal like underneath Craig Dawson. Just going, yeah! While Dawson's just laying on top of him going, ah, fucking hell.
Ballon Dawson.
Ballon Dawson, as he's known there.
I very much enjoyed Luke Shaw. No, it's McTominay, sorry. McTominay's knee slide.
Yeah.
He gets real height before he goes into it. It's absolutely perfect.
Let me say something here, right? You might not have picked up on this. Mm. Pete is obsessed with the great execution of those kind of things, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because when you're a kid, you try to do a clinch when you break your elbow.
Yeah, exactly.
And secondly, you really appreciate the distance and the height involved in the knee slide celebration.
It's just impressive. Something else. Like it was like... it's like a wrestling move. It was amazing.
You were the kid at weddings.
Oh, big time. He is the kid at weddings. Yeah.
Wasn't invited to weddings.
Well, you left mine too early before the music started.
Is he had too much pop? That's what people say about people. Yeah. But I was just going to say, on the game itself, just to pick up on what you said, you know, the kind of top line will be that, you know, Wolves battled their way back into it and then lost in the last minute, which obviously did happen. But really... another story to that is just that they started so slowly and so poorly that it enabled Man United to really grow in confidence, I found. And I found that really strange because Wolves have been in good form. Mm-hmm. You know, they're at home. They haven't lost for a wee while going into this game. Mm. And I was astonished, given that United are essentially crisis club, just lunging from one crisis to the next. Mm-hmm. Even if your opinion is they've not been that bad on the pitch or whatever... there's a huge amount of press about how chaotic it all is. And I was surprised that Gag didn't say to them, get after them early. Get the foot on the ball and hit them with some decent tempo. Get the crowd up and we can do something here. That, they were so flat for the first 25-30 minutes.
Wolves usually do against, you know, arguably better, obviously not league table-wise, but better opposition. You would say that Wolves usually come out and really take the game to them, but they just didn't, did they?
Well, they couldn't get anywhere near it.
Well, sometimes they play counter-attacking against the bigger sides, but I see, that's not how I would look at that, Luke. I look at it as... Manchester United flew out the traps and didn't let Wolves play. And I think that caught Wolves by surprise because of all the reasons you've just said, you know, these Wolves players will be aware of that. But with, you know, Rashford scoring early on and then Højlund not that long after, and they also had a lot of chances, Manchester United.
It's part of the conundrum of Man United, isn't it? You look at those players and, like, you know, position for position, man for man, you think, yeah, they're pretty good, but for some reason it doesn't quite gel. The first half was a great example of it gelling, and the second half is a great example of where there is something in there that just leaves them really, really vulnerable at times.
Mm-hmm. But they still won the game. We can't forget. And also as well, you know, Wolves with a sort of, two late-ish goals, as well, I thought Wolves always looked vulnerable as it proved to be. So it became a bit of a ding dong in the second half in a way that Manchester United, their game management was just not up there. You know, the 2-0 up. You know, Wolves don't score until the 71st minute. I mean, it's only the sixth game in Premier League history to see five goals scored in the final 20 minutes.
Nice.
Although, you know, two of them deep into injury time, the kind of injury time that you didn't get back in the day.
Yeah.
But the Manchester United's game management, as I say, 2-0 up, probably should have been three. You know, they're going to get chances. And there was, I mean, when Manchester United 3-2 up, and Neto, you know, the breakaway and score, it's deep into injury time. Manchester United have a corner. They commit loads of bodies forward because Wolves catch them on the break. It was almost as if it Manchester United were a goal down.
Okay, the game management at that point seems like it was really poor.
As a neutral, more please.
Yeah, I love think, it. Right?
I think this, even though they went on to win it, that is really poor.
Yeah.
You know, they gave themselves a situation to climb out of.
It was about 30 seconds after they brought John Heavens on as well.
I know.
I think for Garnacho, like for an attacking player.
It was. You could see Garnacho was a bit pissed off because he knew there was maybe something left in there for him and the attacking players.
Yeah.
It was a funny old thing. Mind you, though, Erik ten Hag did say in the lead up to the game that his players need to manage themselves. So perhaps...
did himself out of a job.
Yeah.
Guys, right, I've tried everything else.
Yeah.
Have you thought about just turning it into some kind of Lord of the Flies type scenario where there is no authority?
So who manages? You're not going to listen to me? Yeah. Maybe listen to someone.
Listen to someone.
I want to know that you can.
Or a couple of the players just look up and go, sorry, who are you?
Bruno Fernandes going, I'll take it from here then. Yeah. You know. The first half, second half, it was very, very different. But my goodness, that second half, and particularly the end, was something else. And we've talked about this game for long enough without mentioning Kobbie Mainoo.
Yeah.
Because that guy, we know he's a good player, he's only 18, he's very young. The goal, though, Pete Donaldson.
It was a beauty, wasn't it?
What did you ever do at 18 that was as good as that?
Yeah. Just sliding around on your knees, weren't you?
There's a bit where he kind of puts the ball through a player's legs.
It was gorgeous. Yeah.
Which was gorgeous. Yeah. And it's that kind of like nutmeg in the modern game where you're like, did they even mean that? Because it was so smooth.
Mm. Yeah.
I thought the defending was atrocious.
Yeah. But they've just got themselves an equaliser.
They
were obviously knackered, though.
They were, yeah.
Put him on his left.
I think Wolves at the back were absolutely. Gomez and Docherty and stuff, they were just making mistakes all over. They weren't great in possession. They were just really, really poor. And even out of possession as well with the goal itself. But yeah, what a finish and what an end to a game. It was really, really good stuff.
I mean, the way he took that goal was stunning.
Yeah.
We'd expect is the wrong word. If Jude Bellingham did that, was another young player as well, you'd think, we see him producing these moments sort of time and time again. What I love about the modern players, if you like, and really in this country, because I suppose you would argue that maybe players on the continent have been doing this for a while, but he really plays as a defensive midfielder, I suppose.
Yeah,
you know, playing in front of the back four, that kind of thing. Perhaps he'll play elsewhere or maybe be used elsewhere as well. But that's, I think, at the moment, that's kind of what we've been seeing and certainly been told. Again, a player years ago from this country. Who's playing in that position probably wouldn't really be capable of that, probably wouldn't think of doing that. But the levels of skill, the levels of finesse and ball control and all the rest of it.
They just all come through academies with that.
Indeed, but that's what I mean. It's an example of a much more complete footballer. But it was a beautiful goal, and he's a great talent.
Oh, it's fantastic. And this is the kind of moment at a club of that size which really kind of galvanises and... a player and starts to set a reputation. You know, there's players who come through into the team, and for a while, if you're not watching that team particularly closely, like you're not a fan of the club or whatever, you don't actually notice how many appearances they got. You'll start to notice a player and you go, oh, he's played five or six times in the League Cup or whatever, and he's kind of coming through. That kind of moment is unignorable. And if he kicks on from there, given the talent he's got, he could be a really important player for them. I think a lot of the talk going into the game was about Tommy Doyle and the fact of whether they're going to make his move permanent in January or not, from Man City to Wolves for a cut price fee, given his quality. But actually, in the midfield area, it was Mainoo who took all the headlines. You know, and that's how football can go sometimes. But it was an amazing goal. What did you think of the penalty decision, by the way? Because I actually thought that was a penalty, but everyone seemed to be in disagreement with me.
I think there's a big appetite for finding these kind of decisions problematic. But yeah, it was the same.
He kicked him on the shin. Yeah. Right? I mean, it's exaggerated contact and stuff, but there's no way VAR's ever going to overturn that because it doesn't meet the threshold.
I didn't think VAR would overturn it.
But it, exaggerated contact is a sort of different conversation, though, isn't it? But I think that was a good example of it. He's gone there looking for it and got it, but...
Well, yeah, there's talk now.
But the level of contact does matter because we had this when Calvert-Lewin was sent off at Crystal Palace, and I was kind of understanding of it, and that got reversed. And people said, "Yeah, but he never went in that hard," you know, and so on. And I was proved to be wrong because it was.
That's a fucking glorious moment in my opinion.
Well, I mean, I had sympathy, and where are we without sympathy, quite frankly?
Yeah. But, so morally, you were right, spot on.
If you think so. But
that's for others to say.
I couldn't possibly
but there
say
was,
that.
But there was talk at the start of this season, I believe, about the idea of consequential contact and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, this is
very,
it,
very
it?
Different, very, oh, very yes. complicated.
Good God.
Ultimately, he's kicked the guy on the shin and he's gone down and... Really, I mean, that's all it is, right? I don't understand why people are so up in arms about it.
Pete just wrote that down just in case he needs to say that. Consequential contact.
Consequential contact.
That's what you're going to say when he sends his football boots back. Yeah. Yes, I've worn them, but there wasn't any consequential contact.
Nothing I do in the football field is consequential. Going forward, anyway. Yeah.
Oh, dear. I mean, the funny thing is with this win for Manchester United is you think, you know what, that little thought in the back of your mind is, is this a platform to... No, shut up.
No, actually,
part of the reason that we think that, though, is because if you are going to sort of drag yourself out the doldrums, so certainly long-term doldrums, as Man United found themselves in, what you need is a kind of core of homegrown players, right? And he looks like someone who is going to provide a platform for a long time and give them some identity.
Have we not seen these players before, though?
We have. Just kind I suppose of, like, Marcus Rashford by... is a great example of that.
Don't forget Amari Forson came on and got an assist as well. Another young player. So,
I would say that it's great for Man United fans who have been watching some pretty turgid stuff this season where you've got 10 minutes on and the rest of the match off. I think it's just a nice moment for them to sort of go, look, this is what the season ticket's all about.
That's a good point because...
£5,000 season ticket.
Well, they're away from home, weren't they? So they wouldn't be...
Yeah. Well, all right, yeah. Well, you need your points to get your away access, don't
true,
you?
True, actually.
Come on.
I was just going to say that in the league this season, Man United just don't really score.
Mm.
And
nice to see them do it.
Kind of... be a nice little holiday because they have had like some really wild results in the Champions League this season.
That's right.
Yeah. But they haven't really had that type of result in the Premier League that I can think of. So,
well, we enjoyed it.
Well, I mean,
absolutely. Yeah.
Part of that is the drought from Rashford and Hoyland, right? But they are both back among the goals. So,
but shout out to Wolves though, because they're several points better off than they were this time last season. They're scoring a lot more goals.
And Wolves have been great this season.
It's a sickener for them, obviously, particularly how they started the game, but. There's a lot of credit to take from that because I think O'Neill's got them purring and they're
defensively they'll be concerned but they'll need to tighten up there. But yeah, going forward, Wolves have been an enjoyable side to watch this season.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Well, Jim, moments earlier you were talking about young players, you know, trying to get a bit of identity and all the rest of it back at the club, and perhaps that maybe is some sort of little platform that Manchester United could springboard off back into their old selves. Who knows? Something that could just piss all over that is the fact that Jose Mourinho has reportedly made it his mission to return to Manchester United because he believes he's unfinished business.
Yes.
Now, Manchester United fans, this would be the epitome of what's not good for your club
epitome.
Is good for the Ramblers.
Yeah. Oh,
everyone in this studio, there's not a five knob being that doesn't want that to happen.
Yeah, I'm completely... And then the great thing about it is no point in any of these quotes has Mourinho mentioned Man United. He's not like, you know what?
Yeah.
I think they might need some help and I'll be happy to help them.
That's
it's
right.
Like, no. I've got unfinished business, so you are just going to have to bend to my will. Also, they've currently got a manager.
I know. It's better than that. There's a quote from him here I've got. There are still people in that club. Yep. When I say people, I mean some players, but also some other people that are not players, that are still there when I told United after 2 months, with these people, you are never going to do it, and they are still there. Said that in December.
Marcus Rashford's one of those players.
Yeah.
I think it's Rashford, Shaw, McTominay, maybe Martial.
He absolutely hated Luke Shaw, didn't he?
How good has Luke Shaw become since Mourinho?
He was like,
he's scored in a Euros final now.
I remember he said he was only good when he was on my side of the touchline because I could coach him through the game.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Don't get me wrong, I completely agree that I would like it to happen and I'll sign up to it right now.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, what's good for the Rambles is not good for your club. But it does seem a little bit rich, given he's just been given the fucking bullet.
Yeah, but this is it, though, isn't it? He doesn't have a job now, so unsettling other managers
is
his sport.
He's basically at large.
It's more of a sport than football is.
That's definitely true.
Have you seen the £816 luxury suite that he used to stay in the Lowry?
Do you know what? I bet he's still paying in.
£800 a night.
Well, it is £800, right? But, like, it's a central city kind of hotel room.
I've stayed
there. That'd run you about £200 anyway. So that's only four times better. You would expect a little bit more from the Manchester United manager, wouldn't you?
He's not paying for himself.
He's not paying for himself, though. But I'm just saying that, like, inside, I'm looking at this report on the Mirror, inside Jose Mourinho's luxury suite, it's a bit shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I wouldn't like to live there for a year.
There's a funky kind of 1970s chaise-longue-ways, but that's really it.
Yeah,
that's the only thing. There was plenty of space for the former United boss to move about.
Is that what it says on the story?
It's just like...
It's like a Linton travel time. Right,
so he wasn't in a cage then?
Well, we knew it was depressing, but like just looking at it, you just sort of go, I mean, quid, mate?
Like, money isn't the source of happiness and all that, but if you've got money, you can make decisions a lot more easily, right?
Yeah.
Just get a fucking house.
Get a house.
Get a house, get someone to furnish it for you, get someone to bring you the keys and go there and live there like a normal human being.
The footballers do it all the time.
Yeah. No, there's companies out there that do that stuff all the time.
He doesn't want to get too attached to a place because that's not his style, and also he knows he'll be moved on soon.
What message does that send to the players?
Oh, he doesn't care about that.
Well, Ibrahimovic stayed there as well.
If I order room service, I'm in trouble.
I saw another quote from doing the rounds the other day that is perhaps overlooked in his oeuvre, which was simply, I was rude, but I was rude to an idiot. Amazing.
It's quite a good impression.
Very good. It's good, yeah.
Now, Marcus would feel a bit threatened by that, I think. Let's see you, Nick Hewer.
Well, if he manages...
Tax on the lawn, let's see you, Nick Hewer.
We can see too many.
We say what's good for the Ramble is bad for your club. Well, that's not always actually true. Because if this happened, I think Aberdeen fans would be loving it as well. Neil Warnock has reportedly been sounded out about a short-term stint as Aberdeen boss.
Yeah.
The Dandy Dons couldn't be more dandy if Big Neil was there.
He's got to be the only 75-year-old to take his semi-retirement at Aberdeen. Surely. Don't people normally go somewhere warm?
Well, yeah.
If I was Neil Warnock, I'd be saying to my agent, get me something in the Spanish third division.
No, but he lives in Newquay in Cornwall, doesn't he?
True.
And so perhaps perhaps a flight route has opened up between
Aberdeen and Newquay. Newquay to Aberdeen, I imagine that's probably pretty good.
I mean, that's the flight route. That's a Land's End to John O'Groats kind of flight route, isn't it?
So, I'm contractually obliged to say, whenever we mention Aberdeen, as my granddad would say, Aberdeen's not quite the end of the world, but you can see it from there.
I'm also contractually obliged to mention that the only time I've ever been to Aberdeen, a bus at the airport crashed into another bus and the bus driver started crying. Welcome to Aberdeen.
Oh, no.
I'm not laughing at the bus driver, but the story is unexpected, is all I'm saying.
That's why he's crying, because I was laughing at him. You crashed a bus, you nearly run over a load of people.
What's good for the Ramble is not good for bus driving.
Yeah.
Wolves travel to Chelsea on Sunday. Manchester United host West Ham in the David Moyes derby. Mm. Speaking of David Moyes, his West Ham side drew 1-1 with Bournemouth last night. 3 minutes into his West Ham debut with his second touch, Calvin Phillips essentially played Dominic Solanke in, who slotted home.
He didn't need asking twice, did he?
I mean, even Solanke was a bit like, can I score this? I'll put it in.
That was a great example of how quick Premier League football is. It was in the net, like, before you could even blink, it was there.
Yeah, and well, Kurt Zouma, he of the boos, the boo boys, he gave him a bad pass.
He did.
He did.
Yeah.
So you get the feeling that Solanke gets away with having a really bad celebration.
Because what is his celebration? I don't even know what it is.
It's like an arrow. There's a lot of projectile celebrations at the moment.
Cameron Archer can do that.
Yeah,
nobody else should.
Cameron Archer should do that.
What about Jared Bowen?
That's fine.
Okay,
I love
good.
That.
Yeah. Why are you allowed to do darts? Why are you allowed to do arrows?
Yeah.
But you can't do an AK.
What's the cut off?
Abubakar Kamara's got that.
Maybe no one's thought of
musket?
A musket.
Getting the gunpowder down in the barrel.
Yeah.
And then
if you're doing a machine gun, you've got to do the noise as well.
Yeah.
The machine gun has been done.
Yeah, but like it's always
but didn't someone do it with the corner flag once?
What about a grenade?
Yeah, over the shoulder.
Yeah.
That's what RPG.
Any given Sunday, NFL is a grenade.
There is. And the New England Patriots in the NFL they have the Minutemen, which are the kind of revolutionary guys with the muskets.
Yeah.
But they actually got muskets and they fire them.
Right.
That's terrifying.
That's too much.
Yeah, I think they're blanks, Marcus. I'm not absolutely clear.
It's America, mate. You
can't be too sure. You can't be too sure.
All right, then.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I was just going to say that on the Kurt Zouma gave him a bad pass. I mean, fine, but I mean, that's a bit generous.
He did give him
put your foot through it.
Calvin Phillips is not someone who's built his reputation so neat and tidy with the ball that he never gives it away, and he does that. I don't think you can be looking at Kurt Zouma there.
The goal is Phillips' fault.
100%. 100%.
98%.
Okay, 98%.
There we go. We're agreed.
If Kurt Zouma was English, What's the percentage like then?
Yeah.
Look, I think...
It's blue on blue, isn't it? There's two Englishmen fucked each other up. Marcus wouldn't have to deal with it.
I blame the keeper. I'm glad an Englishman put it in, though, Jim.
Yeah.
Sure you are.
Yeah. Yes, Phillips, I mean, he obviously didn't see Solanke, you know, but that shows you the bit of rustiness and unaware, because in that position he plays, you've got to be, you know, 360 degrees. He should just be hoofing that with the left foot.
No one in their right mind thinks it makes him a bad player overnight.
No,
he's made a mistake.
Incredibly,
lots of people not in their right minds watch football, though.
That's true.
Particularly West Ham.
Oh, hello. Hey.
Whoa. What?
Who else you going to have a go about?
Everyone.
Morning?
That's what I do on the Jot Show, isn't it?
You've blocked them all already by now, haven't you?
Yes, so
you
like muted. Muted. Sorry, yeah. I don't give them the satisfaction of a block.
If you have been blocked, you can create another account. So do not give up on
that. It's very easy to set up.
Good old X.
Yeah, get in touch with Pete. He'll tell you how to do it very quickly, and you'll have loads of them. He's only his third Premier League start in the past two seasons, which is an incredible stat and a damning one as well. And I'm very pleased, of course, that he's gone to West Ham despite that poor start.
He's hoovered up a load of money and he's set for life and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, given his age, he's basically set out a lot of football at a key time. Mm-hmm. And this move was a must for him. We talked about it. He had to move. He had to start playing because it's getting real now. I mean, I said to you guys before around the summer, these guys have got a chance here to do something amazing with England, which has not been done for 50 plus years, 60 plus years or whatever it is. Let me work that out. Is it 60 plus years?
Probably.
No, it's 50. It's 50 something years, isn't it? Anyway.
Long time. Long time.
Yeah, no, I'm getting bogged down.
Don't worry.
And they're now kind of
97 Le Tournoi. So
that's exactly what I was thinking of. Yeah, Le Tournoi, exactly.
Not that long, but still, it's a long time.
So, but when there's England playing in qualifiers in a group that they've already basically sewn up, it's easy for Southgate and for players to go, "Yeah, I'll still pick you. Yeah, you can still come along. I know you're not playing, but you're important to us." Mm. Actually, it's crunch time soon. Mm-hmm. That's why Henderson's moved back to Europe. That's why Phillips has gone for a move. They need to be playing. So he's lost a lot of time. If he gets up to speed quick for the run-in or for the second half of the season, no one's going to remember this stuff.
Yeah.
But he needs to do it fast.
Well, I think it would have been a relief that they didn't lose the game.
They battled back in, didn't they?
Then they got it in Ward-Prowse, who was an England player once upon a time and might be when Southgate moves on.
But strangely, isn't now, even though he's playing better for a better team.
Yeah, but I mean, Southgate's got a system and I don't get too bogged down with the England chat. But yeah, Calvin Phillips, we know he's a good player. It's a very unfortunate start, but surely, you know, he'll kick on from there. But I mean, you know, word for Bournemouth. I mean, up in 12th. We've talked about Wolves and how good they've been this season. They're only 3 points behind Wolves and they've got a game in hand. Iriola, I know it's an obvious thing to say, but what a job he's done this
season.
He
turned it around at just the right time as well, because he was
right on the cusp, wasn't he?
Yeah, and if you kind of take that in microcosm, it's actually probably about, what, 7-8 games? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And his job's already under threat and that's all he needed to sort of bed in and get the players to respond to his ideas. He's been really, really good.
But West Ham, though, they've been criticised elsewhere, though. They've been criticised essentially off the field. This is to do with transfers. Said Benrahma looks set to move to Lyon and had arrived there yesterday. I mean, it's a sickener if you turn up at the place and you don't end up going there.
Futi at Lyon as well, he'd be fucking delighted.
I know. Well, Joao Poligno was holding the Bayern shirt, for crying out loud. The deal fell through last night. Lyon released a statement saying West Ham had done none of the necessary admin to complete the deal and accused them of a profound lack of respect. A West Ham computer problem has reportedly left Pablo Fornals' move to Betis uncertain as well in southern Spain.
Did they forget they had a game on?
Yeah. I have no idea.
Get Fujitsu on the case.
Because Fornals was standing by the side of the pitch holding his phone, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Clearly looking for updates.
Looking for admin. Was it, did they do a thing on Google Docs where you just haven't given someone permission to edit it? And you're like, I have to request permission. You're like, oh, come on.
Some would say, perhaps unfairly, because I don't know the machinations of how it works internally at West Ham, that perhaps giving the job of director to a 24-year-old son of the ex-owner or the current chairman or whatever he is.
So that wasn't a good decision.
It possibly might mean you're racked with inexperience at the top level. I'm not saying that's the case.
No.
I'm just saying it could be. And you know, maybe you kind of reap what you sow on that.
Pele won the World Cup at 17, mate. What's your point?
He did. Yeah.
He did. He didn't have to do a Google Doc.
I think people listening will know my point, Mark. I feel like anything need to add anything.
He didn't arrange for the team to get to the World Cup, did he?
That's what he arranged for them to win the final, though.
If a 17-year-old Pele was in charge of admin, in presumably 1958 when he was 17 to win the, win the World Cup. I don't think it would have gone as well for them.
Well, we'll never know, everybody.
No. You wouldn't need so much admin at the airport, though, you would say. No plastic bags, none of that.
Oh, yeah, it would have been much easier.
Rock up, get on the plane.
Very
sorted.
True.
I mean, this is a guy who, by the way, we're talking about Jack Sullivan here, who I think at one point, as a director of the club, was using Twitter to criticise the management and the team selection and the players. Turns out, given a fucking fetus a huge amount of responsibility at a Premier League club, may not go that well.
Maybe they were doing the negotiations on X in the DMs.
Yeah, maybe
that could be the West Ham computer problem.
Ask for Fabrizio Romano.
Yeah,
who is rapidly turning into the most tedious part of football, isn't it?
Is he the one who had the Pixel sponsorship on ads?
Yeah, we're not getting sponsored by the Google Pixel at the moment, are we?
It's a good phone. I wouldn't mind it.
Fair enough. He's done his job on you.
Yeah.
Hasn't he? You've been fab washed.
I've been galaxy brained.
Not for the first time.
No.
Right, coming up in the second half, we've got Arsenal versus Liverpool, Everton versus Spurs, and Jesse Lingard. See you in a moment.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Cambiamos. Yes, Javi. Good. Support. Eric's going to touch it. Support, Javi. Good. Get in the box. That was pretty good, yeah?
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Pretty good indeed. Phil Neville there during a training session at Portland Timbers.
Bring your dad to work day.
This I like.
Harvey being his son, of course.
Yeah.
Nice to see them together. Again. Now, on the subject of Phil's former club, Inter Miami, Danny Murphy has claimed that Barcelona should replace Xavi with Lionel Messi. I'd give it to Messi. The fans are on board straight away. Everything he touches turns to gold. This is, of course, after the news that Xavi has said that he's going to step down.
Is this the worst thing that's ever been said? It's been treated like it's the worst thing that's ever been said.
It's the sort of thing that should get you stood down for match of the day for at least probably a week. Maybe more, possibly a month.
I just don't know why it's been treated so strongly. What's the why is it such a bad take?
I think it is.
You don't? I think
it's called James.
Still
got play, to say.
It's terrible. It's ridiculous. It's like he believes in actual magic.
No, I think it's a bit of
what
a silly...
an unromantic way of looking at it, Jim.
I think it's a bit of a silly take because he's currently into Miami. It's disrespectful for them, and you know that they're currently in Saudi. They just got beat 6-0 off Cristiano Ronaldo's Al Nassr.
Have they really?
Ronaldo was in the stands.
There was a half-goal scored, I seem to recall.
Is that right?
It was an absolute banger.
They played Mitrovic's side the previous game. Mitrovic obviously scored.
There's your problem.
Yeah.
But I think all I'm getting at is that the Barcelona idea that they put the bat signal out and go, we need you to save us.
We can't afford anyone else.
Yeah, he's the most symbolic part of that entire glory.
But he's never suggested, like, seriously that he intends to go into management. He's spoken about it as a possibility, but even when you see him talk about it, he's pondering it as an idea rather than actually considering it seriously.
Did you see the Messi advert where he's in Saudi Arabia, where he's like in a room and there's like brick walls and someone spray painted "not much happening in Saudi Arabia," and he shakes his head and he kicks the football at the wall and the wall explodes, and then we're on a roller coaster in Saudi Arabia. Ronaldo's just doing sit-ups behind it.
I don't think there's... that's not really... That's a bit of a
anyone said.
No one's going, oh, you should go to Saudi Arabia because there's not much happening there. that's not a criticism.
Closed culture. It says closed culture, and then he kicks the ball at that wall as well.
Arguably, there's too much happening there.
Everybody's calmed down.
Yeah.
Well, if you're interested in Barcelona, on OTC yesterday, they explored everything around Xavi's decision to leave Barcelona at the end of the season, including why January was, as David Cartledge put it, his month of doom. It's well worth a listen, so search On the Continent in your podcast apps and join Dotton, Andy and David for that one. Right, Sunday at 4:30, Arsenal versus league leaders Liverpool. A win for Liverpool would take them 8 points clear of Arsenal and surely end Arsenal's muggy little title hopes, Jim.
Do we have to do this again? Keep doing this. We are always playing Liverpool. It feels like we've got to play them another 5 or 6 times between now and the end of the season. It's exhausting.
The Liverpool have already won there. Of course, they won 2-0
in the FA Cup.
Yes. And you'd fancy them to win again.
The form they're in is pretty unstoppable. You would think 8 points would be a difficult lead to overturn, but Arsenal have to make themselves the protagonist here. Obviously, the game in the FA Cup, Liverpool won it 2-0 in the end, but Arsenal made a lot of good chances and they need to just be a bit more, do the same again and be a bit more ruthless, essentially. Mo Salah's not playing, but that just creates the Diogo Jota problem because he loves playing against us. Mm-hmm. Brilliant player.
I think Jota's also like... one of the most underrated finishers, like in the
league. He's a lovely finisher.
He's so good at his finishing is amazing. Like his finishing alone is as good as Salah's, in my view.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah,
yeah, so lovely.
Difficult. I mean, Liverpool have also had a lot of joy at Arsenal, haven't they? The Emirates, kind of in recent years as well.
Four in the Arsenal, last 5. They've won.
Have they 4 and 5? Is it?
Yeah, really? Arsenal won last season. I think I mentioned this recently. I think it was on the podcast. It might have just been one of my own private thoughts, but because we won last year at the Emirates, I think that there's an idea that the monkey's off the back there with Liverpool a little bit, and obviously you have to repeatedly pull the monkey off and then chuck it off a cliff or something.
Careful,
because it stole your fags.
Yeah, talk to Pete. He's from Hartlepool.
Yeah,
you got to deal with him in whatever way you can. Mm. But this is a real, real test, and I wonder if the absence of Takahiro Tomiyasu will be unfortunate, because he is brilliant, particularly against Liverpool. He marshalled Mo Salah very, very well last season. There's not really...
Is that why he's missing? Because he's gone to... just followed him?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it Melwood?
He's marking him too well, if anything. So, yeah, that'll be very interesting. I think Zinchenko was at fault for the goal against Nottingham Forest the other night. He banjacked the offside trap, essentially, and we've seen before that he can be a little bit of a weak spot in that sense. Obviously, he gives you a lot elsewhere as well. So, again, probably another one to watch. It was the case at Anfield that he had a little bit of a difficult time. So, there'll be a lot of a spotlight on him.
And
have to deal with it.
Who are Arsenal going to go for up top for this one? Who would you fancy?
I would think it will be Jesus, Martinelli and Saka.
They're
your most effective.
But I think,
you know what I'd like to see? They wouldn't expect this. Stick big Kai Havertz up there to deal with the big boys. Yeah. Get the flick on.
It worked against Man City in the community chest all those months ago.
Community chest.
The main one.
Well, Virgil van Dijk clarified this week that he is fully committed to Liverpool after saying on Monday that he was unsure if he will be part of the club's post-Klopp era.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit naughty by the media, actually.
Yeah.
He clearly just said, oh, well, no one knows what's happening. Mm-hmm. and everyone was like, oh, right, he's not committed. People just wanted a story there. People wanted the story that, oh, as soon as Jurgen Klopp leaves Liverpool, the players will all just drift away. When he was literally, I mean, I saw the interview, he's literally just saying, oh, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, but I mean, Klopp himself was really good in response to that because he said, you have to remember when these quotes come out, it's because we have questions put at us and we have to answer them. So, you know, it's you look at the question rather than the answer.
Will they open a memorial vape shop for Klopp?
They should do. A memorial?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not really into vapes. Not into vapes, Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah,
Virgil van Dijk slams Gen Z. Gen Z, it would be Gen Y. Zoom.
I don't know. Who eats
it would
vapes?
Be Gen Z. Yeah, Jim.
Right.
Yeah, no, we're in
remember
Britain.
Where you're from.
Sorry. Yeah.
You silly
Marcus,
sausage.
If you don't, Marcus,
I'm a very serious sausage, actually, mate.
Why isn't Jim keeping the British end up?
That's what I don't know, and it does disgust and sadden me.
It's because he's been, I don't know what it is, he's been radicalised by the European nature of the football club he supports.
Too much Prosecco in that belly.
Yeah. Yeah, 20-odd years of a Frenchman telling him what to do.
That's right. A Stockholm syndrome going on.
Yeah.
But it's a big one, Luke Moore. Jim reckons Arsenal are going to win 5-0.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll be that comprehensive?
You might be surprised to hear that. I'm going to deviate somewhat from that prediction and say that I think it'll be very tough. And what I do love about the Premier League and people in charge and the schedulers and all the rest of it get quite a lot of stick. But what actually rightly so. But what I do like is when they put these kind of games on at 4:30 on a Sunday, because it's just something to look forward to. It feels like you're at a festival.
Yeah.
You're looking
for a neutral, you want it, don't you?
Yeah, you're there looking for the main event and you'll enjoy all the support acts. But come on, now's the big one.
This is the big one.
And this game is a game that I feel like, I haven't checked the stats, but in my mind seems to quite regularly deliver. Mm. It's not like, do you remember that years and years ago we went through that phase of there was all these big games between, so the traditional top four as they were at the time, and it would always be like 0-0. Liverpool and Chelsea went through all those games, 0-0, 1-0. These games tend to be good.
I think it's the most high scoring fixture in Premier League history.
I remember a 5-5 in the League Cup not that long ago, 4 or 5 years ago. Worth watching.
I think it was longer ago than that, was it not? But anyway,
no, there was another one. You're thinking of the Charvin one.
Yeah, that was four.
There was one after that.
I think it was 6-3. Baptista scored 4.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
So that was a long time ago.
So what we're saying, listeners, is that once in this fixture, it was really high scoring and it'll have no bearing on what happens on Sunday.
5-0.
Uh-huh. Now, you guys talked about John Terry being in the away end at Anfield when Chelsea played there.
Yeah.
And then you said, obviously, Alan Shearer was in the away end at Craven Cottage when Newcastle played there.
Yeah.
Who would we like to see in the away end at Emirates? What about Macca? Paul McCartney?
Osama Bin Laden?
He'd be in the home end.
He would be in the home end if he was still alive. Yeah. B, he's not alive.
I was just making the connection between Osama Bin Laden and Arsenal. And I've made an absolute
And we will continue to do it.
Anyone else? What about someone else outrageous in the away end?
Why are you asking me this?
Just because it's in the running.
I'm going to write bad Arsenal fans. Bad Arsenal fans.
I'd love to see.
Can we all agree that Arsenal fans on Twitter are the worst?
Piers Morgan.
Yeah, well, I'd love to see Piers Morgan
in the away end,
right in the middle of a bunch of Liverpool fans who have had a really difficult time travelling to the stadium and are therefore annoyed.
Yes. Study reveals that Arsenal fans second worst at leaving matches early. matches early.
Man, I don't leave early, but lots of people do.
Yeah, there we go.
In fact, lots of people missed 2 goals against Palace the other day.
To be fair, I mean, they are in the centre of town, and I know like Highbury, Islington, Canonbury, like it's, I mean, they're probably as close to
it's not too bad.
W1 as pretty much
leaving the stadium is a nightmare.
I reckon though,
if you're leaving the area,
I reckon if Jim left early, then a lot more people would stay. Liverpool's friendly neighbours Everton host Arsenal's friendly neighbours Spurs, of course, on Saturday at 12:30. Interesting one this. And Everton are in the relegation zone, so it is panic stations, and of course they've got that extra charge.
There's a pending disciplinary problem. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it really is quite serious for Everton now. They've been very aware of this, of course, with that heavy points deduction they had.
It's backs against the wall, but the wall might move.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. They've not won in 5, and it seems that as much as the first points deduction galvanised them, perhaps the spectre of the second one is, can you ungalvanise?
Mm. Yeah, I was actually reasonably impressed with Everton when they played Fulham the other night. I mean, I couldn't believe it ended 0-0. Mm. You don't get that many 0-0s these days in the Premier League.
No,
perhaps that's just me.
To, yeah.
But, I mean, there were so many chances at either end. But Everton, especially in the first half, were actually pretty good. And I mean, again, they could have won it right at the end.
Yeah. And actually, you know what? They've had some tough fixtures in there. They've in that 5-game winless run, they've played Spurs, Man City, Villa, and lost heavily to Wolves. But you know that Wolves are decent. So you know
it will be a tricky task, though. Of course, playing Tottenham Hotspur at the moment, because as we know, Peter, they're a lovely side under Ange Postecoglou.
They're slightly chaotic, and I like it, and I like watching them. And yeah, two thumbs up for Spurs at the moment.
Would Sean Dyche beat James Maddison darts?
Yes,
is the answer.
I think he would.
Physically, I think there's just something about his ambiance that would sort of pull him through that match. Personally,
it's no nonsense versus all nonsense, isn't it? In terms of like style,
like it.
Yeah,
be good.
Yeah. Now I know you mentioned the beef between James Maddison and Neil Maupay.
Not really beef though, was it?
It's more a bit
kind of
silly.
Chicken. It's a lot lighter.
It's spam, isn't
it? It's like a vegan beef.
Spam.
Spam. It's spam. Yeah, in more ways than one, it's absolute spam. Yeah.
I find it hard to be objective about this because, like, James Maddison could cure cancer. And I'd be like,
I still find it quite annoying. Yeah.
Just a bit much. A bit needy.
Stick to football.
Do you understand why maybe Southgate didn't pick him as much now?
Well, the angle we had on Wednesday, which has since developed even further and proven Pete and I kind of right all along, needless to say, we've had the last laugh, is that it's quite hard to... I mean, people were jumping on this and going, it's a great bit of beef and all the rest of it. It's not a great bit of
beef.
It's
awful.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to imagine Wright and Schmeichel or Keane and Vieira or whoever taking it further to social media and having digs at each other's on their Instagram posts, stuff like... If Roy Keane was a player now, he wouldn't have Instagram.
No.
And rightly so. And I just think it's almost like... That in like a boxing night where you have like, you know, a bunch of lightweights fighting before you have the big heavyweight contest. Like, and obviously lightweight boxers are amazing for their own reason, but it's not like people don't watch it as much. They're not as interested in it. And as I said to Pete at the time, you know, whoever wins this bust up, all of us lose something.
This is a YouTuber boxing match.
Oh, but exactly. Oh. Great example.
Chess boxing.
Great example.
The pass was better, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Back when all this was field.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Madison's is a brilliant player. All the rest of it, just get on with it.
Yeah,
get on with it.
And Neil Maupay is a professional at this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and the thing that really gave it away was how noticeably annoyed James Maddison was that someone stole his celebration, which made him look a bit shit. It's almost a bit like
when he's sort of hanging on to Maupay afterwards.
Yeah,
it's
went on for too long. Went on for too long.
It's a lot of faff over a imaginary dart, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Damn right, damn right.
Exactly.
Have you seen that Spurs man Son will be in Asian Cup action this afternoon at 3:30 UK time against Ange Postecoglou's former team, Australia?
Yeah.
So are you suggesting there might be some kind of conflicted loyalties, but if you might get the captaincy stripped off him if he scores against Australia?
Well, I'm just saying that if Son did some kind of celebration, have a dig at Ange, that's beef that you want to have.
I love the idea of Ange sending the lads home from training probably about lunchtime today, pitching up in like a deck chair in his trunks, a couple of tinnies and watching this.
Love that.
That's exactly what I imagine him doing.
Why would he be in his trunks though?
Just because that's Australian, isn't it?
That's what they do.
No.
I would say that the ultimate punishment is being managed by Jürgen Klinsmann, so he's probably getting his mate.
He's like, I want to win this tournament, obviously, but I can't wait for it to end at the same time. Oh dear. By the way, speaking of South Korea, have you seen Jesse Lingard might be off there?
Yeah.
What
looks
a move.
Like it, doesn't it?
What a move.
I mean, if this happened,
Busan?
FC Seoul.
Yeah.
The big boys.
Yeah.
It's good, that, isn't it?
Well, so that's what's being reported. I'm not sure if it's been signed, sealed,
but
deleted.
It's Friday night.
He's heading
in
out there, isn't
Seoul.
He?
Come on.
Itaewon. They serve tenants quite a lot. Tenants lager. You can have a pint of tenants all around the town.
No, yeah, I'm not sure. I fancy I'll be a long way away from the family. They serve what? They serve what?
Where? All around the town, you say?
There's an erotic museum.
Is there?
For tourists.
Is this the picture of you sitting next to the erotic toilet with an erection in it?
Yes, yeah.
That's there.
That's Seoul. That's my adventures
in Seoul. That's what
Jesse can look
forward to. Where do you think they modelled the erotic...
I mean, it is a great move and it's something that's, you know, it should be applauded because it's a big trip for him and a big kind of dive into the unknown, completely different culture and the rest of it. The context of this, though, is that he was touting himself around Barcelona first.
I know, but that's
quite a drop-off.
Yeah, but that was because it was like there for the taking. I mean,
but it wasn't, though, was it?
No, as in if they wanted players and he was a free agent and so on. I mean, look, Lingard's story is an interesting one, actually, and there's some quite sad stuff in there when he talks about, you know, a few years ago his mum having depression, and then he had to kind of basically look after his 15-year-old at the time and 11-year-old brother, sorry, 15-year-old brother and 11-year-old sister at the time.
Yeah,
and you know, his life went in a, you know, it took a bit of a turn. So it's taken him a while. Obviously, he's been playing football since then. I think one of the reasons why he didn't stay at West Ham, among all the reasons, was he needed to be near home because he needed to be looked after them. I don't know what his situation is like at home now. I hope
it sounds like it's changed. If he's
I hope it's
Korea,
significantly improved. But yeah, look, sure. If that is the case, and he thinks right now I can, you know, spread my wings
is
to go K-League, somewhere.
Is the K-League the place to resurrect a career at that age, though?
But it's not about resurrecting the career. It's about having a lovely old time.
Yeah, well, look, I completely agree. I think the standard of living out there is 10 times higher than what you would get at that peer level anywhere else.
But do you not think, though, like, he could go... Well, he tried to go to Saudi, but that kind of...
Got a Gangnam with it, forget a suit. Suit in Gangnam.
I just think...
Stroll up with a can of Tenants in your hand. Brilliant.
All that, Pete.
Bloody
down the erotic
brilliant.
Museum.
Off to the erotic museum with a can of Tenants.
He's living Pete's dream.
Next door to an ice museum. Yeah. It's got everything.
I've never seen you this animated on this show.
Love Saul.
Yeah. And yet you're still having a dig at him.
Holiday in Jeju down the south.
Cans of Tenants, the erotic museum and an ice museum. Pete's verdict, it's got everything. Is there a supermarket? Not been mentioned. Is there a local supermarket? What are the schools like for kids?
Can you go to the cinema?
I'll tell you what, they'll learn more in the ice museum than they will at any school.
Exactly. Yeah. Kids go at the ice museum. Where are you? I'm next door, looking at cocks.
What is the ice museum? Can you talk us through that?
I think it's quite self-explanatory.
There's a nice slide. There's like little kind of like statues that people have made.
Jim, there's a load of ice there.
There's a lot of ice.
What more do you want?
Yeah. As
I always say at this time of the week, Betfair will be absolutely delighted to hear that it's now time for the football round. With Betfair. With them this season, you can build your football accumulators with a 90-minute payout where all winning selections will be paid out at 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. So today we're building an acca of 4 match odds 90 bets from across the Premier League. Marcus, who have you gone for your pick this week?
Chelsea versus Wolves. I'm going for a draw.
I don't like it when you guys pick draws.
Why?
Because it says to me you're not sure about what's going to happen.
I'll tell you
sometimes
why.
Sometimes draws happen, though.
Yeah. They do, but you can't be sure it's going to be a draw.
Look, when I can't be sure of anything.
When I scan the games, I look at them and I think, what's the result going to be? What's the result? And nothing particular. And that one, it just bang, it had draw written all over it.
Fair enough. It's your selection.
I understand what you mean. It's more satisfying if you pick a winner and then it comes in.
Well, the way I look at it is I go, right, how
can I weasel out of losing?
Well, we're going to come on to your record in a minute, Pete. Jim.
So I've also gone for a draw.
For fuck's sake!
Yep, I've gone for Man United to draw with West Ham United at Old Trafford. Just because Man United are a little bit vulnerable. West Ham have got all those, you know, scintillating attacking players.
Yeah,
I think
not according to some fans, they don't.
Not according to some fans. If Moyes can unlock them in his old stomping ground, I think neither of them have got what it takes to win.
that's a very depressing way of putting it. Pete, you have gone for Sheffield United versus Aston Villa, I believe.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of performances this weekend where teams that have lost quite poorly in midweek are going to really try their very best to level things up. So Sheffield United versus Aston Villa, Villa to hammer Sheffield United.
Mm. And Aston Villa, who lost their amazing home record, didn't they, against Newcastle earlier this week. You got 6 out of 12, Pete. You got a 50% record, which is a better record than Jim's, actually.
Okay.
So Pete gets a lot of stick
from you know, Jim,
and rightly so. But his record's not too bad. Brighton, I've gone for the Brighton versus Crystal Palace derby, and I've gone for Brighton to win at home against their Roy's boys. I've got 10 out of 16 correct, which is the best ratio of any of us.
You started poorly, and then you started picking more obvious ones to get that ratio up. Yeah. So you know, fair play to you.
The fact is, Marcus and Jim are 22 and
20 on respectively.
Flat track bully.
I'm as good at this as I am bad at Luke's Jack's Encyclopedia.
Right. Luke's Encyclopedia.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
We tried that, we had to bin it.
Nothing. No one knew anything. In summary, Chelsea v Wolves to draw, Man United and West Ham to draw, Aston Villa to beat Sheffield United at Bramall Lane, and Brighton to beat Crystal Palace at the Amex. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £248.91. That's £248.91. If we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, don't forget, for every stoppage time goal on the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK, and we've raised £510 already this season just by doing that. So remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama won't be affected. And that's the same for our Ramble Acca every week. It's exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply, 18 plus only. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
I'll tell you what, I would hate to prostate to lose it. The no.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
I would prostate to lose at this game. Yeah, that's what I was trying to do.
I think we got it, we just didn't like it. It's not the same thing as the arrogant.
You get yourself
position,
checked out, Sunshine.
You've taken an arrogant position there. You've thought, oh, they must not have got that because it's a brilliant joke. We all got it, we just didn't like it.
I would not call that an arrogant position.
What would you call it?
Well, maybe a caring one. He's like, oh, I did something, I want people to understand it fully and I'm picking up the pieces.
Or perhaps extremely naive.
Either way, nice it.
It's a simple game of categories, people. If you go too slow, you're going to be hearing Gary Neville's orgasm, which will leave you 7 seconds. I have not done this game for about 2 months now. So it's going to be chaotic. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be fun, though.
I don't think people are ever thinking, oh, when, a couple of months ago when Pete was doing it, it was amazing. So wish we could have those days back. Yeah.
Stop flagging the host.
Marcus Cruz to yet another victory. It's boring, isn't it?
The Luke Nation are a bit like the Rebel Alliance in Star Wars.
No, they're not.
We're going to pick our moment.
Absolutely clear. You are like those people that stormed the Capitol building in America, and you are their leader, Mr. Donald.
Pete, would you say that Mark is a bit over competitive sometimes?
Yes, but so are you.
Thank you.
At least he wins.
The amount of projection that goes on from that man.
It's a draw. I want you to name, we're going to kick things off with Jim, if that's all right. I want you to name every Liverpool manager since 1959. Very specific year. Already a bit of a clue there.
Bill Shankly.
Correct. 1959 to 74.
Jurgen Klopp.
2015 to 2024.
Bob Paisley.
Bob. It's 74 to 83.
Gerard Houllier.
98 to 2004. Longer than you think.
I'll have Rafa Benitez.
You can have Rafa Benitez. 2004 to 2010.
Brendan Rodgers.
2012 to 2015.
Roy Hodgson.
Ooh. One single year.
Hall of Famer. That's me.
I'll have Kenny Dalglish.
Yes, 85 to 91 and 2011 to 2012.
I'll go for Roy the Boy Evans.
Nice.
94 to 98. I like it.
I will go for Graham Souness.
Graham Souness. Nice. 91 to 94.
Go for Joe Fagan.
Oh!
Why does this always fall on me when we run out? Because that's the last one I have.
I'm having the ding.
You can have the ding.
Thank you.
1 point for everyone. Congratulations, guys. We've literally run out of answers. So 1 point for everyone.
Yes!
Well done.
Yes! It's a big win for me. The Luke Nation are happy with that.
Yeah, it's nice.
We should all be happy with that.
Don't you frown.
No, I'm not frowning. All right. I've had all of them.
I had all of them written down.
Yeah. Because you guys may have got all of those right. You ain't going to get these ones right.
Oh, that was a sweetener.
No. Let's take a moment because we get endless amounts of stick online for being shit at this. And it's hard when you're under the pressure. And we've nailed that. None of us even support Liverpool.
No. That's a good point. Well done, Luke.
Hopefully Liverpool fans will see that we do occasionally treat them with respect.
We're great.
No doubt we'll get some positive feedback.
You didn't do it quick enough. Every winner of the Asian Cup since the tournament began in 1956.
I don't even know one of them.
Every winner of the Asian Cup since the tournament began in 1956.
Oh my goodness.
There are 9 answers. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to maybe collect yourselves, write some things down on a piece of paper.
Talk about coming crashing down but to earth.
All right. Am I first?
Yes.
I'll have...
Think of like political trouble spots.
I'll have Japan.
Japan.
He's come over here from Japan.
They've won 4 times. 92, 2000, 2004 and 2011.
Thank you.
All right, this is a flyer because I've got nothing. I'm presuming South Korea must have.
You know they have.
56 and 60, baby.
You know they have. Then why is this 1960?
You know they have.
I'm going to go for China.
You're not going to go for China because it's wrong. Wow. Marcus.
Australia,
2015.
Oh, UAE? I think they've won it.
Oh, I didn't get to say that.
Unlucky. What's this? What's going on? They have won it.
UAE?
Not at this, they haven't.
I think so,
not at this, matey.
If you said Iraq, you'd have been right.
Iraq have won it, 2007.
Yeah.
Iran have won it, 68, 72 and 76.
Yeah.
And Israel Kuwait have won it, yep. Qatar won it, and Saudi Arabia won it three times. Yes, 84, Saudi 88 and 96.
Saudi Arabia and Iraq ahead. Mm. I remember when Iraq won it. It was quite something.
All right, so Jim's got 1 point. Marcus has got two, and Luke has got one.
I'll take. Do you know what? China. Coming into this every week, if I get a point, I'm delighted with
it.
Well,
you should be happy.
I'm very happy.
Yeah. Well done. Well done. Yeah. All right, as I said, this one's going to be a bit more difficult than even the last one.
This is the difficult one.
This I'll
is
go
the
first.
Difficult one, yeah.
This is the tough one.
The winter break has just been and gone with lots of footballers in Dubai, but a very popular haunt in the summer is Wayne Lineker's beach club in Ibiza. Can you name every footballer that Wayne has posted a picture with on his Instagram at Ocean Beach since the 2018 World
right.
Cup?
Oh my
there
goodness.
Are 14 footballers, Luke Moore.
Whoever in this company is a production member of staff is yeah. researching this. Yeah. I want to see them afterwards. This is not a good use of their time.
It is.
Okay,
excellent.
So since 2018, yeah. I'm going to have to go with Jack Grealish.
Obviously. Jack if that's Grealish. Wrong, I don't believe you.
Yeah. Correct. That's an
that
easy
is a
one.
Touch go first.
And
the
current
one.
Players, are the current players?
No, just players.
Any player.
Any player. Okay. Any player.
I'm going to guess
from
at
the
James
annals
Madison.
Of time. James Maddison.
Gotta be in there. Gotta be in there.
He's in there.
Great.
He's in there.
I'll go for Jesse Lingard.
Oh, Jellings. Oh.
It's not actually. It's not actually. It's a credit to you that you don't know.
Yeah, I'm
no,
glad.
Yeah. No,
how
is.
Many are there in total?
There this, are 14, and you've got two of them.
This is a bit unfair because Jim and Luke do follow Wayne Lineker.
I'm know, always over
on social
yeah,
media.
Always
over
there.
Yeah.
He's my spiritual father.
You heard the new audio book? It's got some great stuff in it.
No, oh, good God! Lukey Moore, let's have one.
I'm going to go with a bit of a flyer, but I think it's got a reasonable chance. I'm going to go with.
Come on,
Jamie O'Hara.
Oh, I like it.
Ah!
That was a big shout.
No, I'm nearly give you a clue there, but I'm not doing it.
I'm gonna go with Kyle Walker.
Do you know I had Walker? I think they might be right then.
Me and Jim are back in.
So you and Jim are back in. So okay. Marcus.
No, he's out.
No, I've.
Oh no, Marcus. Out. Sorry,
I said one each.
So I got one more go at it.
You got one more go at it.
I'll tell you what. How about a bit of Rio Ferdinand?
Oh, nice.
Shame.
Jordan Pickford?
Oh, get a rave on.
What's he doing? He's not going there, Pickford.
Would you like the list of players?
So yeah. No one gets a point, so
no
Marcus
one gets
wins.
A point, so Marcus wins. Yeah, all right.
Marcus Speller wins!
Bit of a shameless victory, someone might suggest.
No, he's
come
out with
himself.
A lot of credit as well.
Right.
He's gone out early in the shittest one, and he still won.
You could have had Callum.
He's Greece in 2004.
Yeah. You could have had Callum Hudson-Odoi, Chloe Kelly, Damari Gray, Frank Lampard, Harry Maguire, Ivan Toney, Jamie Carragher, Jude Bellingham, Mark Wright from the Only Ways Essex, who have obviously played for Crawley. Michael Owen, don't get stuck next to him having a blooming pina colada.
He would make that boring.
Yeah, yeah. Raheem Sterling.
Game of darts now, you're right, Mike.
and Tyrone Mings. So there we go. What a shame.
What a way
it was
to
a great round. I very much enjoyed it.
I love the fact of Grealish. It was so obvious.
Yeah. I was like, there's no way these two absolute nerds are going to get any. I'll get Grealish and I'll be in clover.
Oh,
and Jim
dear.
Pulls up the Madison.
Yeah. But Jim kind of, helping me out there.
Yeah.
The sort of...
Exactly. Jim's the kingmaker. He's darted me right in the head.
The Chelsea to my Leicester and your Spurs.
Yeah.
If
definitely.
You will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, dear.
Back on the bridge.
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do join myself, Luke and Jim tomorrow for the mailbag. Also, follow us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble, and subscribe on Spotify. There we are, everybody. The gate to the weekend is open. And of course, Pitbull is leading you all through it. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you tomorrow for the mailbag.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.